Lord, let us seek the truth, come whence it may, cost what it will. Amen. Let's be seated. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. God keeps promises. Good morning. How are we all doing this morning? Pretty well? I tell you, when my brother-in-law, Howard, really nice guy, he's my brother-in-law, and he says that when he has too many choices and too many options to consider, he uses an acronym to describe it. It's called SIO. He says it's sensory input overload. If any of you have children, I think that this is, overstimulation, and we all know what sensory input overload can feel like it. And I felt like that as I went through the scriptures for today because there was so much information, it was overwhelming. It was almost more difficult for me to sort it out than not having any ideas at all. But just like when a kid needs time out, I found that in stillness and silence, that's where I sort of began to understand that that's how you counter SIO. Have you ever had that kind of an experience? A kind of experience where you thought you find time to finally finish the book you wanted to read or do something fun or just sit back and relax. And then you see that a new movie is coming out and you remember that you promised to go see it with someone. Oh, and then you realize that your work project that you thought was due next week is actually due this week and it's fast approaching. And the phone rings and your in-laws have called and they thought they would just want to stop by. And a friend gives you a party invitation. Your kid then brings home a note that soccer camp has been rescheduled from the snow. And by the way, the coach wants to know, can you bring a snack? And the check engine light just came on. If any of you, even those of you who are retired, are telling me that you live a completely luxurious life that is stress-free and non-anxious, I want to know, would you like to go to confession because I think you're lying? Or do you have some space that I can move in with you? There is so much going on in our lives all at once, this busyness around earthly things. There are so many distractions. So much that as I was preparing for the sermon, at one point I joked with Denise and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand up here in a nice yoga Tadasana stance for about 8 minutes and give everybody 8 minutes of peace and quiet and silence to just meditate. I mean, it's Lent. Okay, I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do this second Sunday of Lent is ask you, where are you right now? Are you having a good Lent? I mean, we're here at Holy Cross. We're in this worship service. That's where we are. But where are you in your head? Where are you in your heart? Where are you? What's on your mind right now that is keeping you from focusing on your relationship with yourself and your relationship with God and your relationship with each other? And I'll tell you what we are going to do. I would like to take a moment right now. I'm serious. Get comfortable. Take a deep breath, close your eyes if you'd like, but for the next minute, I want you to clear your mind and see what it is that comes to you in your head that is causing that earthly stress and anxiety. Take a minute and just clear your mind so that you can be present. Now, where are you? In this moment, do you have a little more clarity about what's causing you anxiety? Did you get some clarity about a decision you need to make? Or did you just have some thoughts of gratitude and some peace come to you in that second you needed that space? Whatever it is that came to you in that moment, invite God into your head and your heart while you sort it all out. Let go of what it is that's holding you back and nourish your soul. Do not be afraid. Trust God because God keeps promises. promises. I know that. Let's take a look at the scriptures. In the Old Testament, even though Abraham had doubts and fears, I cannot imagine what it was like to be Abraham back then, but he trusted God anyway, even though God told him, you're going to have all of these children more than the stars, and I'm going to give you all of this land. He had to doubt, but instead, he chose to trust God, and God made a covenant with Abraham, and God kept his promise, because God keeps promises. In Psalm 27, the writer reminds us that God is with us, that God is our light and our salvation, and that we have no reason to be afraid. As you say your prayers, as you meditate on that promise, sit quietly and be reminded that God is with you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Do not fear. In the epistle, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Trust God. In the gospel this morning, Jesus tells the Pharisees several things. Now, the Pharisees, who are not likely Jesus' friends, and they are generally not referred to as disciples, come to do Jesus a solid and to warn him to run because Herod wants to kill him. I'm pretty sure Jesus doesn't believe them. He basically tells them tongue-in-cheek, thanks for the concern. And by the way, go tell Herod that if he's eager to see me casting out demons and healing and curing people, tell him I'm right here for the next couple of days. Tell Herod, feel free to stop by. I'll be here all week. I think that Herod was afraid. I think that Herod was afraid of what might become of his position and his status in society if he went out to see Jesus. I think he was afraid of the cultural pressures that he was feeling from Rome and Israel. And I think that he was most afraid that Jesus was the Messiah. So do not be afraid. Trust God because God keeps promises. The bigger aha moment for me in the gospel came when Jesus said, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. I think Jesus is trying to get the band back together here, people, because over and over again, the message has been delivered that we are all children of God, that we're all family, and no one is listening. By listening, I mean that no one is hearing that small, still voice within. The small, still voice often gets drowned out by those earthly things that we get concerned about. By popular opinions, by social norms, by cultural influences. What is right for us and for God and for each other? Jesus has been very patient with us because this is what he knows. He knows that children, the ones who need the most love, will ask for it in the most unloving ways. And I know that's me. I know that I'm that child. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And we are all part of God's family. And we don't choose, this was the big aha for me, we don't choose to become a member of God's family. We don't choose that. We are who we are. We are all children of God. We are all created in God's image. Now, we choose to make a covenant and to solidify our family ties in baptism, and we choose to attend this weekly family reunion that we have here in our worship service, but we are undeniably family, all of us, the whole world. Whether we choose to acknowledge it or not, it is in our DNA. Robert Louis Stevenson is one of my favorites. He really is. I love his poetry. But one of the things he said that struck me about this was, to know what you prefer, instead of humbly saying amen to what the world tells you you ought to prefer, is to have kept your soul alive. We are family. I got all my sisters and my brothers with me. And if we're going to do the work that God has given us to do, if we are going to follow Jesus and be the hands and feet of Christ in our time, If we as a parish, a denomination, a neighborhood, a society, or a country are going to have an impact on the world, then we need to stop following others just because it's the popular or expected thing to do. We are not, in fact, sheep. I don't know if you know this about sheep, but sheep will literally follow each other off a cliff. If one jumps, the whole entire rest of the flock will go. We are children of God. We're made in the image of God, and we are connected to God. And we can think for ourselves. We can hear God's call to us, and we can strive with all we are to answer that call. So if we as a community are going to make a positive impact on the world, we're going to have to stop living our lives and making decisions by rote and doing it the way we have always done it. We as a community, though, we can't make an impact, not the kind that we want to, unless we as individuals first stop, take the time to be still, and listen to that small, still voice within, and change ourselves. To know what you prefer instead of humbly saying amen to what the world tells you you ought to prefer, that is to have kept your soul alive. So please, as you go, remember that we are family. Invite God into your life. Seek shelter in Jesus and gather under his protective wing like the rest of the brood here at Holy Cross. Take time to be still. Listen to the voice of God in your heart. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Now go forth into the world and do God's work, trusting in the power of the Spirit, because God keeps promises. Amen.